This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
...9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. And by DC Waste and Recycling. And on this Saturday morning, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday on a wet start to the day.
Again, if you'd like to send those donations to the WSMI Dome Fund, that would be great, because we could set up our dome stadium out here, and we could play year-round.
We'd have no problems.
Now, Randy thinks it would be better out behind the radio station.
A lot of space back there.
You know, there's a lot of space back there, but we do have this tower thing.
Oh, man.
And a few guy wires and stuff.
You just put that on top of the dome.
Okay.
That would spill it on both sides.
I'm thinking more of a giant facility that kind of surrounds it, you know.
You want to be able to have the March Madness-style experience
there
to go with the dome.
See, absolutely. Right. I mean, you could do soccer, right. You could do basketball, you could do baseball, football, you could do in track. I mean, we could do all of it.
In 2018, it's all about the entertainment value.
Sure.
You got to maximize it.
Sure.
Put in a bid to host the Grammys one year.
The Grammys, yes.
Yeah. We could get John Michael Marty to host it and do Super Karaoke Night or something, you know.
Yeah, Stan Kroenke.
There you go.
Yes.
Stan Kroenke. Oh, my God.
The voice you just heard that of Jason Burt. We're happy to have Jason in studio this morning.
Good morning, Jason.
Morning, guys. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're glad to have you here.
Spent a lot of fun times in here, so this is cool.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. Soccer's alive and well in the area because of a lot of the work that you put in and a lot of other people put in.
So. Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah. Yep. So let's talk about why you're here today, sir.
Yeah. So as you guys know, my son Camden, he's 2 years old. He was born in December of 2015. Whenever he was born, noticed he had a kind of a small cry. And Gina and I were a little concerned about it, and the doctor said, well, he goes, you'll appreciate that cry later because, you know, it's not going to be loud and, you know, waking you up and whatnot. But we kind of pushed it a little bit more, and we, about 10 months after he was born, we found out that he had a condition known as 5P minus, it's called cri du chat, which actually is French for cry of the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd actually been told by a couple of doctors that he didn't have it based on just his appearance, because there are a lot of, you know, typical facial features that a lot of little guys that are afflicted with this have, and he really simply doesn't have them. So, you know, we were kind of concerned, so we pushed a little bit more and found out that he did have it. And it's characterized by a deletion of the fifth chromosome. It's kind of a spectrum disorder where you have a lot of different size deletions. It doesn't really matter if it's a small deletion or a large one. How it affects you. It's kind of strange that way. Now, we're lucky that his is actually very small. And like I said, he is on the very mild end of the syndrome, but, nonetheless has it, and it affects him cognitively and physically. And, we decided that we wanted to try to do something to help him. So my wife, being the proactive lady that she is, she scoured the internet looking for any kind of therapy or anything. And about 6 months after he was born, we got him started in early intervention just because we saw that he wasn't, you know, meeting some milestones that we thought he should. And we found this lady in Chicago who does this stuff called a Not Bonnie L treatment. And basically it's like a movement treatment. It doesn't really look like a whole lot whenever they do the treatments actually, but it just seemed like it would flip a switch with Camden, and he would come home, and the next couple of weeks he would do something cognitively that he hadn't done before, or physically, or whatnot. So, of course, they weren't covered by insurance like all the good stuff is, you know. And we were traveling back and forth to Chicago, got to stay with my aunt and uncle, which was really, really great. They live 20 miles from the lady, but it's actually an hour to get there, you know, one of those
kind
of
things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But we get to go past Big Ten headquarters up by O'Hare, which was really neat, so that's kind of cool. But we decided that we wanted to try to do some fundraisers to further his development. So we actually started a group called Camden's Crew, and it's kind of characterized with, we started with some t-shirts and some sweatshirt sales, and that really went crazy. And then we had some people come to us and ask if they could do, you know, different things. Peggy Cooper at the United Methodist Church, since we were alums, Gina and I were alums of the preschool, we got
you got inside track.
We got inside track.
That's
it was
right.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's right, man.
Yeah. And our pictures are still on the wall. We got to see those. They actually hosted a pancake breakfast for us a couple of months ago, or actually about a month ago. And we didn't get to go because we were actually in Chicago for treatments. And, that was really, really awesome. The turnout from the community was amazing. Yeah. And we tried to do a couple of other things, and the reason I'm here today is we're going to do a golf tournament on May the 5th, which is actually Worldwide Credo Shaw Day. 5-5 is kind of near and dear to the Credo Shaw syndrome because of the fifth chromosome,
right,
and the deletion of the fifth chromosome. So we're actually going to have a golf scramble. We're going to take a page out of my brother-in-law Jeff Eichhoff's book, the boys golf team at Hillsboro, their word is crush. You know, just crush it, you know.
They're kind of good,
too. Yeah, they know a thing or two.
No, they're real good.
Right, yeah. So we're going to do one that's called Crush for Cannon's Crew on May the 5th, mm-hmm. And we're going to be sending out some flyers and stuff with some sponsorship opportunities and whatnot, and we're really excited about it. So,
a great way for Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Jason, I guess, forgive my ignorance, but what are the long-term prognostications like?
Sure. It'll obviously be something they'll have for life. We are on a Facebook page with the other Credo Shaw families, and we actually got introduced to a family from Monticello whose son, Wade, he's 5 years old, and it was through one of our feeding specialists. You know, we have two or three therapists, and we have a feeding specialist that comes out, you know, because they struggle with their feeding. They struggle with their swallowing. He is 2, and he is getting very close to walking. So it's a delay in just about everything. Now, to answer your question, Tim, there's a lot of the little guys that don't walk. You know, a lot of the little guys that are nonverbal and whatnot. Camden, we've been really working with him on his sign language, and he picks that up really, really quickly. He has a pinch of, or I don't even know what you want to say for animal sounds. He can do just about any animal sound you want. He also knows race car. Whenever we say, what does a race car say? He goes, go. So which is,
sure.
I'm proud of that one.
Yeah.
But, so a lot of them are nonverbal. A lot of them are, you know, they don't walk. Like I said, Camden is a lot on the mild side, so we're really hopeful for that. Yeah. Not many of them live on their own, actually none. So it'll be one of those things, you know, that'll affect him his whole life. But, you know, to look at him and to get to know him, you would never suspect, you know. So,
and I know we've had conversations with Kyle Hirschman over the years about this.
Right,
the different support groups that they have through INET. And I would imagine it's going to be a very similar situation.
It is, absolutely. You know, and Kyle and Mary are friends of ours, and it's the areas that we live in, we're so fortunate because you can't believe, well, Terry, you know, I mean, you know, you don't know how many friends you have until something, you know, like this takes place. And if we lived anywhere else, it wouldn't be like this. I mean, you know,
it's community.
It absolutely
is.
You
know,
yeah,
and we belong to a community, and the community cares.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And,
so,
and I'm glad that this is going to come about on the 5th of May. And Jason, as we go on down the line, Tim was asking about prognosis, mm-hmm. and is there a time that Camden will he be able to attend school on a regular basis and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, like I said, it's a spectrum disorder, so there's so many different, you know, we've seen the best and we've seen the worst, you know.
Right.
There's actually a lady who lives in England who is what's known as a mosaic, so only some of her cells are affected. She works in a library. She lives on her own. Her parents come in and check on her, you know, every once in a while and whatnot. That's very atypical, though. His prognosis is good because they have a lot of rules of thumbs. We've kind of become an expert on it now, you know, based on, you know,
sure,
how it goes. If they sit up by a certain time, most likely they'll walk, and he made that milestone. And you know, we have a Facebook page called Camden's Crew where we take pictures and videos of him and kind of upload them, and he was walking with a walker the other day and just about took off, and it's like,
wow.
And it's so funny too, because he'll cruise around the table, and we'll kind of make obstacle courses for him, and he'll use his hands to kind of cruise. And then one night he was standing at the table and he had his hands on a toy and just kind of stood up, backed away, and he stood there for about 5 seconds, and then he looked over at me. He's like, "Oh wait, I'm not supposed to do this." So he already up and sat down. So he knows.
Like one day,
yeah,
it's going to click.
Oh yeah,
and he'll giddy up and go.
He does a really good job with that. But the diagnosis, you know, was hard, because as anybody who, you know, has a child or any diagnosis that they get, what you had planned, you know, quickly goes away. You know, it's almost like you kind of mourn that child that you thought. But for Cam to be the way he is, I can't imagine him being any other way now. Yeah. You know, so.
You know, that was interesting. You said, like, after he was born, that you and your wife both, despite what the doctor was saying, just kind of your own instinct was saying,
yeah.
And I guess that's a good point for people. As a parent, never ignore your instinct.
Right, right. And then Gina was the first one, you know. The cry was, you know, we had struggled to get pregnant with Camden, and finally we had him and everything, and the cry was the first thing, and it is basically because the deletion of the chromosome will affect their larynx and, you know, the way they cry and stuff like that, and it's called cri du chat, cry of the cat, because it does, it sounds like a little kitten. And, you know, of course, YouTube that, and his wasn't as bad as some. I mean, some of them are really tiny. And the doctor said, he goes, there is a thing that has to do with a cry like that, but just by looking at him, don't worry about that.
Right.
And it was 10 months later, sure enough, it was, you know. And we got the diagnosis, and the lady who, you know, the doctor who called us is, yeah, it's cri du chat, just like you'd say, yep, I'll take a refill. You know, it's like, and, you know, meanwhile, our world gets turned upside down, and just like anybody. I mean, I don't want to come on the radio and think that we're the only ones that have problems, because that's not the case. Yeah. But, you know, it is a totally different lifestyle. And
what are we talking percentage-wise, is the number of children that are affected?
1 in 50,000.
Oh, wow. 50,000.
Yeah, 1 in 50,000. And then Rena, whenever our daughter was born, of course we did some genetic testing, and neither of us are carriers. It's just kind of a fluky thing. Rena doesn't have it. It's just so strange. But, it's 1 in 50,000. About every, probably 60 are born in the United States every year. We have friends in Columbia, Illinois that have one, that has cri du chat. He is actually a twin. Little brother doesn't have it.
Really?
You know, brother doesn't have it. Other brother does. Like I said, our friends up in Monticello, and it's almost kind of like we live parallel lives with them, because he teaches at the high school and he coaches at Monticello, baseball coach at Monticello, and Megan, his wife, she teaches at the Sangamon up there in Monticello at the elementary school. So.
We need to get to a break. Jason, can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yep.
We're back with Jason Burke following these messages.
Sports Saturday returns here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote and Jason Burke.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Cardinal baseball today.
Cardinal baseball, the last two exhibition games on the radio today and tomorrow, 11:45 on AM 1540, FM 106.9, and then for real, Cardinals at New York to take on the Mets on Thursday, and I think that's an 11:15 pregame show Thursday morning.
Is that the first game of the year, but it's like the second game, or?
That is the first game of the year for the Cardinals.
Well, the first game of the Cardinals, first game for Major League Baseball.
It's first game overall.
It is the first game overall.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Big Apple gets to host the first game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. In the old days, it was Cincinnati that always got to host.
And they're still mad about that.
Oh, yeah, and they still should be, because they were their first professional baseball team. But that's just another subject for another time. Jason, I wanted to talk a little bit about research. Excuse me. Of course, with Grace and Kyle and Mary, they have Washington University, doing some research, mm-hmm. which is close. Is there anything like a research facility that's halfway close or doing research into this sort of thing?
Not really. It's really strange because, like I said, we had to find the place in Chicago
right.
that does the treatment and stuff. As for like a research center, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is so antique whenever it comes to diagnosis, because I remember talking to, you know, some families, and whenever their son was diagnosed, they gave him a book that they had knocked the dust off of, you know, because this is what it is, and it paints a doom and gloom picture, which is really not the case, yeah. which is, you know, reassuring. But yeah, as for research, not really. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's about being proactive, which you guys are. And,
sure, yeah.
And you know, not accepting the status quo, the standard answers, and saying, no, this
right.
is not how it's going to be.
Right, right, yeah.
Because we can make it better.
Yeah, sure. There is a 5P minus society, and every year they host a national convention, kind of like, it's not, I say convention, but, you know, a national, you know, get-together. And last year it was in Milwaukee. We were planning on going, and then Rena was born,
yeah.
which kind of made it tough. This year it's going to be in Pittsburgh, and they try to make it as central as possible. They swing it back and forth between the Midwest, the East Coast, and West Coast. In, I think, 2020 is going to be in Chicago, so that's going to be one that we'll actually be able to make. So we're hoping to go to Pittsburgh this year, but it's Rena's first birthday. So, yeah, so yeah. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Last year it was whenever the Cardinals were in Milwaukee,
yeah.
and that was going to get piggybacked too, but that didn't happen either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Jason, you guys are going to have a golf event coming up on May 5th at
yes.
the Hillsborough Country Club. Just give us some details on that.
Yeah, so we're excited to announce that. So we're going to have it on May the 5th, which, like I said earlier, is Worldwide Creedy Shaw Day. We're hoping, if we can get a good enough response, to have two flights, hopefully one roughly about 8 or 8.30 in the morning, and then one at 1 in the afternoon. We've got some cool raffle items. We went and actually got a Phil Mickelson matted autograph picture, which is really cool. A guy down in Edwardsville, Ben Farnsworth, who owns the baseball card shop called Good Sports in Edwardsville, he donated a picture. And really, really cool. It's him getting the green jacket at the Masters a couple of years ago,
sweet.
Which is really awesome. So that's going to be one of our raffle items. We are hoping to open up some sponsorship for the tournament, which if we can get a title sponsor, we're looking into offering shirts with not only Camden's logo, but then also the logo of the sponsor, prominent placement on any signage that we have, any kind of print ad that we have. I know I talked to David, and good chance I'm going to get to come back and talk a little bit more about this after we get some sponsors. A towel with Camden's logo in the middle, and then the sponsor across the top, and then some. We have what we're hoping to get is some tiered sponsorship. So, you know, one will be the premier sponsorship, kind of like the title sponsor, and then a handful of others that will have prominent placement on the towel also.
Yeah.
So hoping that, you know, if we can get a big sponsor to come out, we'll have a team that's introduced and whatnot, and also looking to get some giveaways for maybe hopefully a golf trip to Branson for the winner and stuff like that. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it.
So this be a 4-man scramble?
Yeah, 4-man scramble. We're hoping to do a shotgun start. Hillsborough obviously is 9 holes, so we're gonna have to stagger it a little bit. It'll be a shotgun scramble. We'll do all the mulligan stuff. You know, all the stuff that guys like the three of us, you know.
We need.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. Scratch golfers, you know, yeah. I hit a ball, I scratch my head, wonder why I do this. So that's, you know. But,
well,
yeah.
Like what Tiger would used to say, he was a military golfer, so left, right.
Right, yeah, yeah. Summer golfer, summer here, summer there,
right.
You know. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But, no, yeah, we're really excited, and, gosh, if it's anything like, you know, the stuff that we've done in the past, hopefully we'll have a good turnout. So
I'm sure you'll have a fantastic
absolutely.
Turnout.
Yeah.
And then, in addition to the golf tournament, about a month later, you're going to have a motorcycle ride, which sounds awesome.
Yeah, this is going to be crazy. So my brother Mike, he is a motorcycle enthusiast, and we've tried to get every demographic. So one of the very first fundraisers we had was a paint party for the ladies, and that went over really, really well. I was the only man that showed up, and I was not painting. I just showed up to help clean up. So that was the ladies. The golf will be obviously a little bit more geared towards the dads, but we've had some ladies express some interest. But then my brother Mike, he being the motorcycle enthusiast that he is, he wanted to plan a motorcycle ride, and this thing has really taken off. Also, I think we'll actually probably have more silent auction stuff at the motorcycle ride than we will for the golf tournament. But it's going to start. It's actually June the 9th. It's a Saturday, rain or shine, and we're going to start at Bernardini's in Nokomis. Mm-hmm. We're going to make our way over to Pena, over to Shelbyville, down to Vandalia, back to Hamby's in Schramm City, and then finish up at Bernardini's in Nokomis again. And we're going to have a band. There's a band out of Keysport area called Van Whalen, which I'm jacked about because I think that sounds pretty cool. They're going to have a concert for us from 8 to midnight at Bernardini's, and everybody that we've talked to have been really excited about that. So especially the people at Bernardini's, they've been over backwards. They said, yeah, we'll get a band and we'll get all this stuff, and it sounds awesome. So hats
again,
off to Mike.
Again, the generosity of the people that live in this area is
you really don't feel worthy, you know. It's just like, and it's just, like I said, nowhere else that we would live would do this, you know. So
It's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, so we're excited. So.
And Jason, I know that you're encouraged and you're enthused, and mm-hmm. and I know that Camden will have the best of everything that he can possibly have, and that's great parenting.
Well, thank you. Yeah, like Tim said, you know, you use your instinct, and we couldn't do this without Gina. Gina was the one who, you know, she said, I want to push this. And I said, sure. I mean, you know, as a dad, you're like, oh, he'll get there. You know, he'll get there. And then also then as a teacher, you're kind of like, well, he probably should be doing this, you know, because he was wobbly and, you know, he wasn't sitting up, you know, wasn't really incredibly excited about eating or anything like that. And that's one of the things too. So we got him into some EI, which the EI program here in the area is wonderful. We got him into some speech, which you wouldn't think would be a big deal for a 1-year-old, but it is. It's a big deal, you know, and we've got him in speech with some great people, learning some signs and stuff like that. And now that he can communicate what he wants, that's good and bad, because now...
Because he's 2 years old
he's
now,
He's 2 years old. And like I told you guys off the air, there are some things that are very 2 years old about Camden.
Good to see that side of him.
Oh, absolutely,
He really is.
Yeah, I mean, if he was... He is... He's a smart aleck. I know he is, you know. But his last name is what it is, you know. So I know you guys are looking at
it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's a genetic thing.
Yeah, exactly. All of this is genetic. Yeah. You know? But no, he's got a thing now where the sign for more is you have two fists and you click them together. So if it's he likes to climb up on the recliner and rock, and then he'll look at you and say more, and it's like, all right, yeah, more, and then.
You're probably
going to fall. You need to get out, you know.
Did you and your wife know sign language before this?
No. It's all, you know, through early intervention that we got this. And he has he's got about 6 signs that he does. Basic, you know, like eat, drink. We're working on drink. We're working on go. More. He has help. He has all done, which... A couple bites after he hits something he doesn't like, he's all done already. You know, he's rubbing his hands together. I'm all done with that. He likes to say no.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the first words kids learn.
Exactly.
No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Nope. Nope. Yeah. So. Yeah. But no, he's really come along, and we're really fortunate with that. So for sure.
We're really looking forward to the golf outing. Mm-hmm.
We're really excited about it. So
we'll try to get the sports show broadcast out there that day, and.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Stir up a little trouble, I guess.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And talk
to happen.
And, right, yeah.
And talk. And you can get your brother out there. We can get him on the air. And,
oh, God.
You know, we could.
Bring that cough drop.
And then 3 hours later when we're done.
Right. Exactly.
Jason, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Is there anything else at all that you want to mention?
Phone numbers, websites, or something that we could
help so
out with?
On Facebook, we have Camden's Crew, and then I put a lot of our own stuff. Gina and I both have our own Facebook. We are in the process of printing up the flyers, and we're going to be, you know, mailing them out, kind of like a mass mailer. All of the explanations for the dates and, you know, any sponsorship opportunities. We'll have whole sponsors, you know, just contributors, anything like that we're looking forward to. So I've got it all written up. I just have to just print them off and, you know, going to send out a mass mailing, hoping that here in the next couple of weeks, we'll put something in the paper, kind of similar to what Mr. Duff does for the boys football team, you know, like the Rich Sanders scramble where they can cut it out and send it in and everything. But, yeah, just, check Facebook, check the Camden Crew Facebook page, and that's a good platform for getting everything out there.
And not only are we encouraging residents of Hillsborough, but the entire county.
Oh, absolutely.
The whole area can participate.
Yes, I mean, it's not just a Hillsborough thing by any stretch. Got my buddy from Litchfield who, he goes, well, put me down for the afternoon shift, and I'm like, listen, this is, we're teasing each other. and he said, well, put me down for the afternoon shift. So we're hoping that, golf communities from all over. To get back to what you were saying, my brother, Mike, who's been doing a lot of stuff with the motorcycle ride, it's unbelievable how people from, all the way down Alton, Springfield area, halls in Springfield. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how fast it did. And it's just that, like you said, there are just so many good-hearted people everywhere that you don't realize, So we're really fortunate with that. But yeah, stay tuned for more.
We'll have some more information.
For more good information. Yeah. So we wanted to put this out there.
You're still coaching soccer, aren't you?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Trying to.
Okay. Not today.
Yeah, no, not today.
Thank God, not today.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
That Caddyshack out there. Oh. Frogs popping out.
Yeah, exactly.
Head.
Exactly. There's never a good time for spring, early spring soccer. So, yeah.
No, not until you get to June.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Then the weather warms up pretty nice. Yeah.
Jason Burke, thank you so much for coming in today. We know you got some other things to take care of this morning, so we'll let you get to
thank
that.
You.
Get your waders on, get the pontoons in your
absolutely.
Car.
Absolutely. I'm glad I wore a hood this morning.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Right,
so
that's right.
Thank you guys so much, really. Thank you very much. So
No problem.
Right. Sports Saturday returns in just a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Once again, I want to thank Jason Burke for coming in. The golf outing coming up May 5th, and then the motorcycle ride June 9th, both on Saturday.
Both on Saturdays, and get out there and turn out and help out what you can do, whatever you can do. So, and, go to their Facebook site and take a look and find out about this particular affliction.
So the high school basketball season is over.
It's over.
And what a way for it to end a week ago last week when Belleville West took down Whitney Young. They are the southernmost school to ever win the big school championship in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. And the last non-Chicago school prior to that was when it was a 2A, 1A and 2A system, and when Peoria won in 2004. So it had been
ago.
A long time since a non-Chicago school had won. And the thing about Belleville West, number one, it was such a great game.
Oh, it was like a college game.
It was. You're right. I think it was very similar to a college game. But Belleville West was never afraid.
Oh, no.
Whitney Young has, and a lot of times the public league schools are very intimidating. But West was never intimidated.
We've seen it over the years, and primarily it's been Edwardsville because they've been the team down here that makes the consistent deep runs. They have their style of play does not jive with what the public league is doing, and as a result, they have had a lot of trouble with those schools over the year. Belleville West style is just like the public league style. They are up and down, fast paced, and I don't know about you, Terry, but watching that game, I just thought, Belleville West has the better roster.
Sure.
They're just the better team.
Man for man, they were better.
They've got the best player on the floor who happens
to
be the best
deep.
Player in the state. They're deep. They're athletic across
and they're
the
young.
Board. Their junior class is loaded.
Yeah, loaded. So, but, and all in all, the tournament this year, and I'm talking all the games, going back, even to the girls' tournament.
Go back to the football season.
Yeah, go back to the football season. We've had some terrific games
the state series this year may be the best that Illinois has had in a long, long time. When you factor in the football games that were basically all close, I think six of the eight or seven of the eight came down to it. The girls' basketball tournament was fantastic. Yeah. The boys' basketball tournament, fantastic. Another banner year for Illinois in terms of their high school state basketball tournament. And, Jerry, we always talk this time of year, you got the college going on with the March Madness. But if you go to the state tournament, you hear them talking about the home of America's original March Madness, and you have done some research, you've dug into some things, and you have a few items.
Well, and the question comes up every once in a while, and I know John Marty and I in the afternoon talk about high school basketball and March Madness, and why is March Madness a trademarked entity, basically? And the thing that we have to realize is that March Madness, the term March Madness, is from Illinois. A gentleman named H.V. Porter, who was the athletic director and coach at Athens High School, Athens, Illinois, okay, back in 1939 wrote a poem called The Madness of March. And that's where March Madness came from. And for, 40 years, Illinois was the home of March Madness. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, they always referred to March Madness. This goes back to before Huff Hall. Huff Jim was named Huff Jim. And, wow. You know, it goes all the way back. And what's really interesting is when Mr. Porter passed away, they found some old films of the old state tournament games going back, to 1932, which are available on YouTube, by the way. You can find them on YouTube. And it's really interesting to see how the state tournament games were played. And you know, there was no center court line, and just the free throw lane was narrow, and just all sorts of different things. But the term March Madness is indeed a trademarked entity, much like the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And there's a firm in Chicago, a lawyer's, an attorney's firm, that goes around the country finding people who violate the trademark and end up suing them.
Nice. Good work if you can get it.
Yeah. So it all started, for 40 years, Illinois was the home of March Madness. And in 1982, Brent Musburger, who is a sportscaster, which a lot of us know about, and if you're younger, you probably don't, but Brent Musburger was a very good sportscaster. He worked for the CBS affiliate in Chicago.
If you're younger, you know Brent Musburger from a few years ago, the football championship game, gawking over A.J. McCarron's girlfriend. Yeah. That's what you know
Brent
Musburger
That's what
for.
You know about Brent Musburger, yeah.
But I digress, I'm sorry.
You know, but he was a good multi-purpose announcer. He did a lot of sports. At one time, did everything for CBS, it seemed like.
You are looking live.
Yeah. And anyway, in a broadcast, a college basketball broadcast in 1982, he used the term March Madness.
Uh-oh.
Of course, he was working in Chicago, in the state of Illinois, in March Madness. And all of a sudden, he used the term March Madness. And then CBS says, well, hey.
Bell went off.
How about that? Maybe we could make some money out of that,
ooh,
right?
Good idea.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and appropriate that. Now, Illinois, unfortunately, did not have a trademark on it, or the rights, you know, hadn't patented it
back
or
then,
copyrighted.
You wouldn't even think about
it. You wouldn't even think about it because it was just March Madness. Yeah. We did our thing in basketball time, you know. It was one of the greatest shows on earth. But anyway, what happened in the early 80s, the term March Madness, along with a few other terms, was purchased by a company that now distributes the rights to use March Madness in the NCAA Sweet 16 and other Road to the Final Four, those sorts of terms. And that's why when you tune in to see the state basketball tournament, it's referred to as America's original March Madness, because we're not allowed to use March Madness legally.
You know what it makes me think of? David, you'll appreciate this as a Breaking Bad guy. That line late whenever Walter White's talking about being in the empire business and how he sold out for pennies on the dollar from that company that he had founded. In a lot of ways, Illinois sold pennies on the dollar
for
America's March Madness.
Basically, Illinois had it stolen from them, I think, is basically what happened. And then they had to go to court to try to save it, you know, and there was a big litigation over all that sort of stuff, and that went dragged on for a long time. But basically, you know, H.V. Porter was the guy that brought us March Madness, and
you got the poem, right?
I've got the poem here, and if we have time, we'll read it. But the poem was always posted at the end of the TV broadcast back in the 60s as the last thing you see before the shot went black, dark. Yeah.
And, you know, it's things like this, Terry, like I did not realize, like, since I'll be going to the state tournament, that poem was never around, but when you hear the stories about back in the day and how it morphed, it is so easy to see how the state tournament became such big deal in this state.
It is still the biggest deal in the state as far as the IHSA is concerned. It is the crown jewel, and you know they're still trying to figure out ways to bring more people to the state tournament and all that sort of thing. But it's still the crown jewel, as we just saw this past 4 weeks. It was great.
The product consistently fantastic.
And the thing about Mr. Porter was, not only was he at Athens High School, he became a member of the IHSA, was the executive director. He also went on to serve the National Federation. He was elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, not for the term March Madness, but he was the guy that got rid of the seam on the basketball and made it a molded round basketball that bounced evenly. He also was involved in writing rules for the National Federation, which was adopted by, which of the rules which were adopted by all the high schools that played, you know, under uniform rules. This guy was just a big, big part of high school basketball and high school sports in general.
Imagine trying to bounce a basketball with seams.
Oh, yeah. You know, you'd have crazy bounces and all sorts of other stuff. And, you know, he basically called himself just a good old country boy.
There you go.
But, you know, he had some smarts about him and wanted to, you know, make the game better. And he certainly, through his efforts, basketball has become a great sport. And I like to say this, if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Right.
Okay, it doesn't really need it fixed. Basketball is pretty darn good shape right now.
So, it's alive and well.
It's alive and well. It's alive and well. And if we've got time.
Do it.
I'd like to read. Now, you got to remember, when this poem was written, it was 1939. So we were on the brink of World War II. We'd come out of World War I into World War II. So there's some references in here to war, okay? But it's called The Basketball Ides of March. And when you hear it and you think about it and you go, oh, geez, yeah, okay. He kind of captured what this whole thing was about. So here we go, The Basketball Ides of March. The gym lights gleam like a beacon beam and a million motors hum. In a goodwill flight on a Friday night, for basketball beckons, come. A sharpshooting might is king tonight. The madness of March is running. The winged feet fly, the ball sails high, and field goal hunters are gunning. The colors clash as silk suits flash and race on a shimmering floor. Repressions die, and partisans vie on a goal-acclaiming roar. On a championship trail toward a holy grail, all fans are birds of a feather. It's fiesta night, and cares lie light when the air is full of leather. Since time began, the instincts of man prove cave and current men kin. On tournament night, the sage and the white are relatives under the skin. It's festival time, sans reason or rhyme, but with nationwide appeal. In a cyclone of hate, our ship of state rides high on an even keel. With war nerves tense, the final defense is the courage, strength, and will. In a million lives where freedom thrives and liberty lingers still. Now eagles fly and heroes die beneath some foreign arch. Let their sons tread where hate is dead and a happy madness of March.
There you go.
Yeah, the original, that's where we get the term March Madness. And then there's one line on a tournament night, the sage in the right, the sage stands for the you know, bright thinkers, and the term white, W-I-G-H-T, stands for fearless. So the smart and the fearless, you know.
There you go.
Yeah, so anyway, March Madness began in Illinois. I think Illinois got snookered, I'll be honest with you. And every once in a while, I'll get on my little soapbox here during tournament time. That's why we can't really technically use March Madness.
No other state in the country has a high school basketball tournament like Illinois.
No, they don't. And Kentucky actually trademarked Sweet 16 years ago, and so now the NCAA has to use NCAA Sweet 16 when they refer to their Sweet 16. But, you know, the term March Madness was an Illinois thing, will always be an Illinois thing, and you know, it cost the Illinois High School Association a lot of money to do battle in court, but at least we get America's original March Madness.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. So
we need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back and talk more madness following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Tope.
By the way, we will have a podcast of this broadcast up on the website later today. And if you're interested in what Jason Burke was talking about earlier today, you can listen to it. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
So the Elite Eight will begin today. And if you had Kansas State Loyola in your bracket, you're a liar. You're lying. No one had it. well, somewhat problematic.
I posed the question on Bracket Day, okay, to Randy Prangy at 7:30 Sports one morning. I said, what are the odds that somebody could pick a perfect men's bracket and a perfect women's bracket? Astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
It'd have to be. But right now, I don't think anybody could.
The numbers that you have just to pick the perfect men's bracket, I mean, it's you can't even comprehend them.
Yeah.
It's so improbable.
Yeah.
The women's bracket, though, there's fewer upsets.
Yeah, there really are. And this year, the men, with so many number one teams that get up there and then lose and drop down, you know, 8 or 9 spots and then have to climb their way back up in the rankings. It's just been a crazy year for college basketball.
You think about Virginia. They started the year unranked,
mm-hmm.
wind up the overall number one seed, and then become the first squad to lose to a 16. But that's just kind of how college basketball was this year. You know, you had the have-nots beating the upper echelon teams. And there's so much talent in college basketball now that if the quote-unquote better team is off, they're going to lose.
Well, and teams play defense. You know, your lesser teams never used to play good, tough, solid defense. And I think they do now. And you know, if you can disrupt the offensive
flow
of the game with, like, Virginia, you know, you're going to win.
See, I think the reason that you never had seen a 16 beat a 1 before is because normally the 1 seeds are so high-powered offensively that these 16 seeds, they just can't stop.
Yeah.
And obviously, Virginia, not exactly a high-powered offensive club.
Well, yeah, pretty much goes to what I was going to say. The Virginia didn't have a go-to scorer that could get them back into the game.
Yeah.
Right. They let everybody hang around.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard people this week trying to talk about, they were comparing that to the Miracle on Ice. Can we please stop?
No.
Can we please have some perspective?
No.
Please? No.
No.
Yes, a 16 beat a 1. But I don't even know if that's in the top 5 of biggest upsets of all time.
No.
And not even in the NCAA tournament. Forget about sports across the board. If we're talking upsets in the NCAA tournament, Villanova beating Georgetown in, what, 1985?
Yeah.
That is the biggest upset in college basketball
that's
history.
That's one of the biggest with Raleigh Massimino. Yeah, that's got to be
he
up
took
there.
Took down that Hoya squad, the Patrick Ewing teams.
Who everybody thought was going to go in and just destroy Nova.
Just destroy him. Not even going to be close.
Yeah.
Not even going to be close. Now, if a 16 seed would have beaten that undefeated Kentucky team from a couple years ago, now we're talking about an upset of historical proportions. But for me, Virginia doesn't rise to the level to call it an all-time historic upset. And they beat them by 20.
And the thing
they
of it
blow
is,
them out.
Yeah, you know, it was a blowout, number one. And number two, we knew it was going to happen eventually. So when you know it was going to happen, it's not that big of an upset.
Is it even their biggest upset in their team history?
Virginia, with Chaminade?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, that's
at least
a good question.
Yeah, at least UMBC's
D1. Yeah.
That's a very good point.
That's a big one.
Because of that loss, the South region got thrown into absolute chaos. It's the first time ever that none of the top 4 seeds made it to the regional.
Yeah.
Man.
Boy.
That's the madness of March.
That's exactly right. You know, you think, well, that's just Kentucky's got a clear path. They're playing in Atlanta. That's basically a home game.
No.
I believe John Calipari was complaining about his draw going into the tournament.
John Calipari's always complaining about something.
He was complaining about the draw going in.
He didn't
he had
like
the
that.
Highest seed.
Right.
Well, John Calipari likes to complain about everything because he doesn't like to play by the rules.
Well, that's not fair exactly. He's had a few run-ins with the rules at UMass.
A few.
But
and Memphis.
He's a pit. You know, okay, fine. I retract my previous statement. He has a problem with the rules.
Okay.
Yes.
And he's always trying to.
The thing that annoys me the most about John Calipari is he's maximized the one and done, which I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
But then he complains about having a young team when, you know, he's ranked high, expected to win, and then he blows up. Well, I've got a bunch of freshmen. You brought them all
That's
in.
Right.
You picked the team. So you don't get to complain about having a young team when the model of your program is to always have a young team.
Go to the corner and cry, okay?
Right.
Because I don't want to hear it.
Come on, Calipari.
So, yeah. So I don't feel sorry for him.
I'm happy for Bruce Weber.
Oh, yeah.
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 Interesting game today for Illinois fans. They get to see Bruce Weber face off against a team that's in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Who's now gone further than the state school has gone in years.
Although there are some people in Illinois who are south of I-80 who wouldn't really claim them, but, you know.
No.
You think about Bruce Weber back when he was in Carbondale.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about Loyola. Loyola. Oh, I know. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right.
They're not even a Missouri Valley team. They don't feel like a Missouri Valley team because they've only been in the conference for like 2 years.
Well, but I mean, that's just kind of how it is now. You know, that's how the conferences work. I thought it was interesting that the was it Dan Mullins, the Illinois State coach? Did you see this?
Yes.
He was bashing Wichita State because they lost in the first round, and his point was that you shouldn't have left the Valley. But it's such a mind-blowing point to me because the Valley got one team in.
Yeah.
One team.
Yeah.
Wichita State, that's why they left the Valley, because it was a one-bid league. Yeah. So, yeah, they lost in the first round, but they got in as an at-large because they didn't win their conference tournament. So his whole point to me made no sense. Yeah. It made no sense to me.
They probably would have gotten in this. If they were in the Valley this year, they probably would have gotten in if they didn't win the Valley tournament.
Most likely. But I thought his point, though, to me was off base. It's like, yeah, the Valley's been a one-bid league for a long, long time. And so they moved to a conference that, what, has Xavier, has Cincinnati.
No, they don't have Xavier. Xavier is Big East.
Big East, oh, you're right. Yeah, so Cincinnati, Wichita State. Who's the other big team in that league?
UConn's in the league, but, yeah. There's Houston is in the league, too.
Okay, there you go. So, I mean, it's just, it's a deeper league.
Yeah.
It's a deeper league. But I thought those comments were funny. It's like, yeah, your one team is really good. But it's one team.
I'm interested to see where Wichita State goes from there because I do see Mullen's point, though. It's kind of the grass is always greener, you know.
Sure.
Wichita State was everyone's darling, and they played very well as an underseeded team. But now, if they're going to be seeded higher.
Butler ran into this. Gonzaga was the first team to run into it. At some point, you're no longer an upstart Cinderella. No. You're expected to be a big-time player. And so far, Wichita State has not lived up to those expectations. Remember, the year after they went to the national champ or the Final Four, they were undefeated, got the terrible draw, where they had to play Kentucky in the second round. But it's hard to win in the tournament. Yeah. You know, it's just hard to win. And for a team like Wichita State, now all of a sudden, their season success is defined by their tournament. Getting to the tournament is not good enough.
Yeah.
Right. No, and to your point, Gonzaga, they didn't jump conferences, though. Butler did. Wichita State did.
My point to that was, though, that Gonzaga, when they first started, it was like, oh, look at that. That's a cute little team. Yeah. Look at that. The little engine that could made it to the Elite Eight. Now if Gonzaga, if they lose in the Sweet 16, they had a bad year.
Yeah.
You
know, because the expectation, that they've built the program up to where that is now the new base level of expectation. They are closer.
That's the norm.
They're closer to the blue bloods of Duke, Kansas, Kentucky, North Carolina than they are to, you know, the middle of the pack.
Sure.
Like they're an upper echelon club.
If they don't go deep, they've had a bad season.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
They've kind of really put their conference on the map, too, because now that conference is capable of getting multiple teams in just because of them.
Not usually, though.
Well, St. Mary's has gotten in
a time
pretty,
or two.
Yeah, well,
but that's a pretty consistent one-bid league. Pretty consistent.
If Gonzaga loses the
conference tournament, they'll get in.
Yeah.
But St. Mary's, a number of years here, has been left out as one of the last at-large teams.
This is true.
This has been one of the goofiest years
for
the tournament.
That's crazy. It's
absolutely goofy.
And what will the Final Four be? Prediction? Sure to go wrong, Mr. Jenkins.
I think Villanova is going to be in the Final Four.
Okay.
I'm confident in that one. I think Duke is also good. The right side of the bracket, I think Villanova and Duke.
Villanova and Duke.
The left side, I couldn't either. I would lean towards Michigan and K-State.
Michigan, I would say, yeah, you got a pretty good shot because they've really been playing well. They played well down the stretch in the Big Ten. On that fourth team, though, boy, I don't know.
But Florida State and Loyola would not surprise me either at this point.
Well, the worst case scenario for the NCAA is to have Kansas State against Florida State and then have Texas Tech beat Villanova. That is a disastrous
TBS
Final Four.
Oh my goodness. Their executives would be
Well, it's
crying.
George Mason year. Because everybody talks about George Mason, how they ruined that tournament. But it wasn't just because George Mason got to the Final Four. It was because the rest of the Final Four was terrible.
Right. Well, I said before, upsets are great in the first two rounds.
You have blue
but when we get to this round, I want the big boys.
Yeah.
I want the big boys.
You can have one Cinderella.
Yeah, one Cinderella's fine.
Sure.
We don't need three.
Yeah.
Sure. Don't need three.
Yeah. If you want the big ratings and you want the big audiences and you want the big followings, you've got to have teams with their pedigree.
Yeah.
Best
case scenario right now is Villanova, Duke, Michigan, Loyola. For the NCAA.
That's a good Final Four there.
That's a good Final Four.
You got your true Cinderella, and then you've got three kind of preeminent programs.
Because still, nobody will care if it's K-State I mean, I'm sorry. Outside of Manhattan, Kansas, nobody's going to care.
Half the people in Manhattan, Kansas won't care.
This is true.
You mean K-State's in the tournament?
They are?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I thought we were going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
No.
Not this year.
Hey, we want to thank Jason Burke for coming in and spending some time with us, and we're going to have him back before the event, his golfing event comes up again, and we'll talk more about how you can help him out, and look forward to that. Also, Cardinal baseball this weekend, 11:45 today and tomorrow on AM 1540, FM 106.9, and then Thursday it's for real. All 162 plus, we hope, a few more games.
Hey,
that might be a stretch.
We'll see about that.
On AM 1540 and FM 106.9. So.
Thanks for joining us today. Tito, take us home, sir.
Yes, the home of March Madness, Illinois. That's right. Your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.